You're listening to Gen AI in Insurance, a KPMG podcast featuring Kelly Combs and Ed Chanda.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Generative AI is a hot topic in the insurance space, and we're all interested to hear more about it. So, Kelly, why don't you just start with what is generative AI?
Yeah, of course, Ed. So I like to start by thinking about artificial intelligence as a broader set of capabilities that are trying to mimic human behavior. And under artificial intelligence, many are familiar with machine learning techniques and deep learning. And now we have this field called generative AI that's a set of unsupervised and supervised algorithms or models with language capabilities wrapped around it. So what we're doing is we're taking some techniques that already exist and packaging them in a different way that's ultimately bringing data science closer to business stakeholders in a way that they can more intuitively interact with and receive insights from AI.
So we've been talking about AI for many, many years. I mean, old AI, machine learning, those kinds of things. And it seems like in the last 5 or 6 months, we've come faster than we have in the last 5 or 6 years. You know, what do you attribute that to?
Yeah, I almost think, you know, there's this excitement, and we're definitely in the hype curve for generative AI, no doubt. But there's excitement in the fact, and maybe more of an appetite to adopt generative AI or to use generative AI, because we've already gone through the low-code or automation challenges, you know, some organizations as early as 7 years ago or 8 years ago. So there's a familiarity with using tools that augment how we work as humans and business decision-making that's making adopting Gen AI faster and accelerated. And as I mentioned before, as we move data science closer to business stakeholders, it's not that we're eliminating the data science element or that you need to be a deep technologist and understanding how the technology works, but we are packaging algorithms and AI in a way that's more intuitive for normal users to use and interact with. And just the capabilities in itself are fairly broad of what generative AI can actually do, that there's this idea of just like low code, we can use it across multiple functions. We can use it to augment the individual and how they work. And there's some transformative use cases at the enterprise level that we could do at relatively low cost to start. Now, the caveat being how these services are deployed by vendors, how their package is probably going to change a lot in the next 6 months to a year. But it's a relatively low barrier to entry to start. You know, that being said, I know we'll probably get into some of the risk side of it, but I think that's helping accelerate adoption in this area. And really, we're seeing across clients and industries, right? Everyone's excited about it. It's not like one particular industry in particular.
For sure, for sure. And you get more attention from a lot more people up front than you usually do, although we do tend to overestimate how fast things are coming. I know we're very excited about it. And the old saying that, you know, humans tend to overestimate what's going to happen in 2 years and underestimate what's going to happen in 10. And I do wonder if we've solved the data problem at the bottom of all of this. So you said we've been working on this for some time, but I still think there's a lot of data work to do. And will AI be slowed down at some point while we try to get it a better source?
So AI and generative AI in particular is the newest, shiniest tool in the toolkit or in the toolbox for business stakeholders. So we still have challenges around with traditional AI. Again, what organizations are building internally or using algorithms for, that journey they've been on for a couple of years as well in parallel to automation. And what we're saying is, hey, the tools can do what we want them to do, but is our data structured in a way to deliver the right insights? So in parallel to now we want to add Gen AI as one of those tools that can augment decision making, we're now also seeing a lot of organizations refocus on, is our data conducive to using these tools in the right way to deliver value? And how fast and quickly can we adopt these tools? And at what cost is it going to take? So there's definitely a renewed focus on the data element and a lot of questions on what's the right framework to use for build versus buy. So again, automation was pretty clear in terms of licensing tools and some of the big vendors out there. AI, again, there's ways you can build AI and use hyperscaler workbenches to deploy and develop your own models or use pre-built models or open source tools and libraries. Generative AI is kind of exploding the AI as a service concept and probably challenging the framework of at, you know, for which use cases make sense to use which tool. And there's this interest in using Gen AI probably for everything to start, but then, you know, we need to step back and say strategically, what are the patterns or capabilities we're trying to achieve based on the business problem? And is Gen AI the right tool, or is it one of these other options that we may already have?
Sure, sure. So what are some examples of what generative AI does well? Where are we seeing it go first?
Yeah, I mean, it's really good at things like creating content and generating new content, creating synthetic data, writing code, visualizing information. It's really good at explaining, editing, comparing type tasks. So if you think of researching or querying or trying to benchmark data, whether it's summarizing, synthesizing, or transforming something into a narrative form. It's also really good at acting as a coach. So helping provide options or look at different scenarios or predict outcomes, and then provide a preliminary recommendation to an employee or to a user that then can interpret and make the ultimate decision. So kind of some of the basic create, summarize, explain, edit, compare tasks, generative AI is really good at, and it's trained on public information. So ChatGPT-3, right, was trained on data through 2021. ChatGPT-4 has more recent data, and it is kind of across the board, across public sources. So the generalized applicability of using it is good. That being said, if you want something that's very domain specific or very tailored to your use case or providing, you know, insights very specific to your organization, there's ways that you can connect generative AI to your internal corpus of data and ultimately train it over time to learn more about what your organization does. But again, there's different ways to deploy it and different trade-offs in using it in a more generalized sense versus a more narrow or niche or domain specific context, which is going to take a little more work to get the accuracy right.
Right. So, but we're still at this phase or this stage talking about a technology enabled human, not the human giving up the responsibility. That's correct?
That's right. I mean, I think that's the way, you know, we're seeing most clients deploy this is kind of two different scenarios. So one is, how can we use generative AI for the individual? Just like, again, low code and automation. How do we augment the way that our employees work? How do we use it to make us more efficient, to do those stare and compare type tasks or research tasks that take a lot of time just to boost outcomes or get to insights faster or increase productivity? The second is the more enterprise use cases that are more transformative, which is maybe requiring us to train on our internal data to provide more accurate or more specific insights, but still a human in the loop in both cases. So one is, you know, how can I better create a PowerPoint presentation on financial forecasting? And how can I just gather the information faster? Whereas the second, you know, maybe how do we improve financial forecasting across the finance group? And there's different implications around the data and how you deploy it. But both require humans to say, is what I'm receiving in the context of what I'm trying to do accurate? And there are limitations on the output. So we definitely emphasize augmenting humans versus replacing or deciding for humans.
That's very consistent with what I'm seeing in the insurance sector specifically, right? We're in the business of taking on risk and making judgments. And I can see a role for AI someday in the underwriting process, but there's a lot of risk to getting that wrong. And so where we're seeing it go first is to marketing and communications, being able to get more consistent, more crisp and clear communication going with our customers, or, you know, looking at a compliance function where it's bringing back what it finds to human, where the human can decide whether or not it wants to take action on it. But nothing as bold yet as underwriting, where we're binding the organization to a contract based on what AI thinks. Maybe that's next.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot in the marketing and sales, and how do we personalize offers at point of interaction or promotions or even just communications? How do we make them more accurate and tailored to the end user? Which again, the generation and content construction component of generative AI is really good at. But like you said, in certain areas, you might say, we've got a proprietary model that we use to look at risk or to assess, you know, how we want to approve claims or certain areas. And you just say, the models we can build internally are more effective and precise and are kind of our intellectual property or advantage versus, you know, where we may use Gen AI. Another area I'll speak to is, you know, in call centers or even looking at like claims management. So how can we augment what an agent's doing to make them more efficient? It's not making the decision on the claim or making the resolution through an interaction with a customer, but it's helping surface up, here's related information about that claim. Here's potentially recommended next best action to work through with the client that you're talking to or the consumer with an inquiry. And what we found in that scenario is the productivity gains for, you know, early employees within an organization is huge. If you're an experienced agent, for example, the net impact of Gen AI is neutral. It doesn't really boost performance per se, because you've got that domain context of working in that area. You've seen certain types of claims, you know how to process them. But for the early joiners within an organization, it is helping bridge the training gap and bringing the productivity of the group as a whole up. So that, how do we augment and improve efficiency in claims management, call centers, customer interactions? That's another good use case that we've seen a lot of organizations start to experiment with.
That makes a lot of sense, but I do worry that are we breaking sort of the apprenticeship chain here? And
yeah,
are they depending on the AI or are they learning from the AI, right? So after 20 years in the business, I know how to do it. If I can get to that level in a year and a half because I'm using AI to help me, am I in a position to know that AI is doing it correctly or that's doing the right thing? How do I learn?
It's an interesting trade-off between, you know, what do we learn through experience and on-the-job training, and how structured is that, and how much can we use technology to augment the standardization of decision-making? The other piece we've talked about, or, you know, again, in the field in general, is this idea of the prompt engineer, and how do we prompt generative in a way to get the same and consistent output? So I can envision a world where you have agents prompting generative AI, asking similar questions, but may get different results back. So you still want to standardize how recommendations are being made, how the process is being facilitated. A lot of that today is through job aids or policies or workflow tools. But if it's generated by Gen AI, we need to think about putting applications in front of generative AI to make sure people are asking the question in the same way to get a consistent output back. So that's something else I think about as well, you know, in terms of like the skill gap and experience, and how do we make sure people are learning the right thing in the same way?
And you mentioned call centers. I wanted to come back to that. Are we almost to the point where call center is going to be a pleasant experience?
It may be too soon to tell, right? I don't know. But like I said, we are seeing big savings there just from internally within the organization. You know, 40 to 60% are expecting productivity gains in customer service. It's a huge opportunity to upskill or up-level, again, productivity across the board. How that translates into, is the human interaction and experience component faster? Or can we get to root cause analysis for your problem faster? I'd like to think the answer is yes, you know, but I assume it's still probably not going to be entirely frictionless.
So I think maybe for our last few minutes here, let's just talk a little bit about where the vulnerabilities might be in this new model. Where can things go wrong, or what new risks am I introducing that maybe I haven't had to deal with the previous technologies?
Yeah, so I like to think of it as every organization should probably be thinking about responsible AI or AI governance more broadly anyway. You know, whether they're building a lot of AI ML models internally, you know, or using third-party services or using chat agent assistance, I think it's a good practice, given where AI adoption is at more broadly, to have policies and procedures, and many organizations do, principles on what good practices are for AI, to have an ethical stance on what permissible data do we want to use for the purposes of AI, where do we want to use certain algorithm techniques, where do we not, based on how transparent they are, how complex they are. My first advice is always, you know, either baseline, there should be AI governance established through policies and procedures. And then the nuance around generative AI is, it's almost like a double click into that policy or procedure that may exist, really focused on four key areas. So one is security. Security is kind of a growing concern. But if I think of AI as a service, we still have challenges around potential manipulation of inputs or outcomes. So can we do data injection or data poisoning and try to uncover information we normally wouldn't be privy to there's a lot of fraud and counterfeit happening. Again, even trying to manipulate Gen AI and things like adversarial attacks. So this idea of security and how AI is served to endpoints and how we secure those endpoints and how we secure the data sharing element is going to be of increased focus. Of course, contracting. So generative AI is packaged as a service. Not many organizations are building Gen AI from the ground up internally. They are leveraging it from a third-party vendor. And so thinking through who owns intellectual property and copyright, which is still being sorted out legally. So if I receive generated content and then I adjust it, do I own the IP around that? Is it public information? Is it the vendor that produced the initial results? That is still being sorted, but other areas are rights to audit, data rights, understanding the roadmap of these vendors. The contracting in itself is a huge space we could probably dig into, but something, like I said, that's going to change a lot. And then the two other areas I'll hit on, Ed, and then, you know, we'll be curious kind of what you're seeing as well from your perspective. But I mentioned the outcomes. So are there limitations on the accuracy? We don't know how the models are trained. We don't know what data is being used. How do we know what we're receiving is accurate? And then data kind of being the fourth one around data privacy. Can we turn off how we log data on the back end? How do we make sure we're not sharing sensitive data? Those are kind of the four big areas of focus for Gen AI that I would say if we aren't thinking about and you're experimenting, those are the areas to double down on from a governance perspective.
For sure, for sure. And I you know, I think, you know, you mentioned data poisoning, changing what's going into the model, you know, it all keeps coming back to the same question, which is how do I tell how the answer was arrived at, how confident I should be in that answer? And then, you know, as we try to use it in certain spaces, I mentioned underwriting before, but even if we try to use it in audit, you know, we need to be able to prove that we have some basis for understanding the answer that we're coming to, not just accept the answer. And I think that question is going to keep coming up over and over again as we try to introduce it into new use cases.
Yeah, or even a scenario where, you know, I've seen you can prompt and ask for a recommendation. And then if you have the knowledge to say, well, that doesn't quite seem right, and you ask the question in a different way, the answer, you know, generative AI could come back with a different answer. You know, how do you interpret and effectively challenge what generative AI is giving you and not taking it for surface value? But it's hard to say who's more knowledgeable. Is it the human worker with, you know, 20 years experience to make the ultimate call? Is it generative AI, which is trained on, you know, millions or trillions of attributes of data? That's going to be kind of where organizations have to focus thresholds, controls, processes around a vet. How do we get comfortable with what we're seeing? And ultimately, what is the right and most accurate answer in the context of how we're trying to use the information?
Yep, definitely, definitely. All right, well, I know that we could probably peel back the next layer and go another hour here, but I think this is where we're going to end it. Thank you so much for, you know, sharing your thoughts with us. And, you know, we look forward to talking again here in the future.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Gen AI in Insurance by KPMG.